Dobro pozdravit tavarishi. Moje bludaim amerikanse. Welcome, comrades. We are watching the Americans.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Chip.
And we are watching the Americans.
You thought you were done with us? No, there's still too much Americans goodness. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm just having a little Americans withdrawal.
Withdrawal, yeah. We figured a lot of people would be.
I think this week was very
sad. Wednesday night was a lonely, 10 o'clock. It's like, well, what do we do now? I guess I'll just go to bed.
Yeah.
And, typically, the last few weeks we've been watching together, 10 o'clock's usually past my bedtime, but I stay up for the Americans. And then I try to go to the gym early on Thursday afternoon so I can be home in time where we can really get down and I can do my note-taking when I pay very close attention and we can stop and start and turn on the closed captioning and all that.
Of course, I would have been doing that all day on Thursday.
That's true. That's been your job for the last 3 months, I guess, on Thursdays. Yeah. So
this Thursday,
you didn't have anything to do.
I went to the grocery store.
You were bored.
Went to the gym.
Your life felt suddenly empty.
And I had time to do the puzzles and paper.
Well,
life was good.
It was good, but we still missed the show.
Yeah.
And we teased it a little last week that we would want to get on here and do something we've been thinking about, I guess, since we saw the first season, right?
Well, we've been fascinated with the opening sequence of The Americans from the very beginning. We hadn't really studied it until after the season two finale.
Yep, that's right.
So we spent this week really studying it, analyzing it screen by screen and researching to see what we could find if there was any significance.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have seen several articles and posts about the opening sequence. And we'll tell you more about that at the end of the podcast and give you some contacts where you can go and find what other folks have seen.
Yeah, we'll try to put the links at the end of the show notes. So check that out at our website, watchingtheamericans.com.
I think that what we've done here is probably the most
it's quite encompassing.
Thorough.
Yes, thorough. Very thorough, yeah.
And I have to say, I love the music to this opening sequence. It's really good. And I did find out that the whole opening title sequence was made by a company called Elastic TV.
Okay.
So we got more about them later.
Okay.
But they apparently have done quite a few other opening sequences.
Oh, okay. Well, I look forward to hearing about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you think? Do you think we should get into it? I don't know that we have music for opening credits. Maybe we should just like play the opening credits or no, we won't do that.
I don't think we're allowed to, are we?
Well, you can excerpts for news analysis, parody, all the things that the Digital Millennium Copyright Act of whatever.
Okay.
So we're doing analysis today.
Okay.
So we're picking it apart, scene by scene, frame by frame.
That's right.
And we're ready to do it now. So,
and it's all very fast.
It is very fast. It takes a lot of starting and stopping. And so here we go.
All right. Well, the opening sequence to the FX TV show The Americans begins with a very quick flash of a concrete wall that has the Americans logo superimposed over it. And my question was the Berlin Wall, maybe?
Could be.
And
the C in The Americans, of course, we all know.
As the hammer and sickle.
Hammer and sickle, exactly.
Yeah. And so then it goes next to an image. I think it's metal.
Looks metallic.
It's a circle with two wings with what looks like flames coming up from the base, set on top of a five-pointed star with a ball in the middle of the star. And we researched that.
A very surprising find. We thought it was a Soviet symbol.
I know, because there are a lot of similarities to a lot of the Soviet symbols.
Sure.
Turns out it's the United States Air Force.
Yeah, we found a link with a military-style insignia for the U.S. Air Force. And when we found it, we're like, whoa.
There it is.
That's us?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it could be that the Soviets copied it.
No, I think it was that they have that, and then you shift.
Right, immediately.
Immediately to the next image, and it's an image of a Soviet monument with the emblem USSR in the Fallen Monument Park.
Ah.
It has at the, it's sort of a circular kind of image that has what they refer to as ribbons at the base going up around the edge of the circle. And then out of that comes wheat chaffs.
Okay.
And at the top, they come together with a 5-point star.
Yep. Symbol of the Soviet Union.
In the middle is a globe with the hammer and sickle.
Right. So like they've taken over the globe.
Sort of. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the bottom, at the base of the monument, there's a half circle kind of sticking up. That is the sun, and it has rays coming out.
Ah, interesting.
And
where is this again?
It is in what's called
Fallen Monument Park. Okay.
In Moscow.
In Moscow.
And that used to be called the Fallen Heroes Park.
Okay.
The ribbons, the tiers at the base, represent the individual states or republics that made up the USSR.
I see.
There's one for each of them.
Can you name them all quickly off the top of your head?
I can't.
All right, let me try. Let's see. There's Russia, the Russian Soviet Republic. There's the Ukrainian Soviet Republic, Latvian, Lithuanian, Estonian, Kazakh. Oh, gosh. Now I'm getting... Kazakhstan. Okay, I'm stopping.
Show off.
I knew a few.
Yeah, well, I could have gotten the first two, I think.
Okay, well.
Was Crimea in there?
That would be part of the Ukrainian Soviet Republic.
Anyway, the whole image sort of looks like a wreath and called to my mind the, I don't know what you call it, the wreath that Napoleon used to wear.
Okay. Not the Holly Who wreath from Whoville.
No.
Okay.
Or Caesar. You know what I'm talking about on their head?
Yeah, the kind of crown thing.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Sort of like that.
Interesting.
But anyway, the monument itself is really a sculpture that represents the state emblem of the Soviet Union.
Okay.
And cool. We'll see that later.
Right. Right.
Next, we see a row of townhouses.
Okay.
Seems to me like like Georgetown.
Could be Georgetown, something in the D.C. area. Does not look Soviet.
No, not at all.
At all.
And then one of the things that happens throughout this opening sequence is that things get superimposed over other things. So the very next thing you see superimposed over the townhouses is a drawing of a pair of hands holding binoculars sketched in white. And there are red blotches in the lenses, and as you look closer, the red blotches are in the shape of the Soviet Union. The European part is on the left lens, and the Asian part is on the right lens.
Interesting. And does it say CCCP across it, maybe?
It does.
Interesting.
Which are the Russian letters, well...
The Cyrillic alphabet for USSR.
Right.
Yeah.
And... the hands holding the binoculars looks like to be a lady's pair of hands.
They do. I see it looks like some elongated fingernails with the thumbs and the top fingers that are on top of the lenses. So could catch there.
Yeah. And it's actually, it's like the person is holding the binoculars looking out at the audience. So we're being watched.
Who's watching the Americans? And the Americans are watching whom?
Yeah, exactly.
So you called that without even doing the analysis.
I know.
I like that.
And then over all of that, you get FX presents in red letters inside a black box. And then as the picture changes, there are two sets of slanted stripes opposite one another, sort of making an upside down V shape. One of the things I want to say is that throughout this, you'll see the Cyrillic Russian words.
Right.
Which I'm not able to read. But as the sequence goes along, then whatever the words say gets put into English in the red letters inside the black box, and that gets put over the top of the white letters.
I wonder if it's just a transposition of the Cyrillic letters or if it's actually the word, because we don't speak Russian. If we have any Russian listeners out there, let us know.
Yeah.
If FX Presents is actually FX and then the Soviet letter or the Cyrillic letters for Presents. Okay. All right.
Okay. So the hands and binoculars go away and two images begin to come into view behind the slanted stripes that I was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two poster images side by side, both women.
Mm-hmm.
On the left is a woman with a red scarf or shawl over her head, holding her finger up to her mouth in a shh gesture.
Yeah, she looks kind of like Elizabeth, too. Sort of.
It actually is a replica of a propaganda poster from the days of the USSR, but there are some copyright issues, so they had somebody who actually drew the posters.
Oh, so it's like an homage to it.
Yes.
Okay.
It's very, very similar, though.
Okay.
On the right is a woman with shortish hair. I say shortish, and the computer doesn't like that word, but anyway. Yeah. And what looks to me like a trench coat.
Mm.
And she also is holding her finger to her mouth in the same gesture.
Interesting.
And she also sort of has some resemblance to Elizabeth.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Do you think they're just saying be quiet because we're spies?
Yes. Could I think they've got lots of secrets.
You think so?
I think so.
On this show, people with secrets? I don't know.
Could be.
That's a pretty bold statement.
And again, there are words in Russian letters, white letters, that are superimposed over the screen. And the two women begin to fade out, and fading in on the left is the Marine Corps War Memorial, also known as the Iwo Jima Memorial.
Okay.
It is a United States military monument outside the walls of Arlington National Cemetery and next to the Netherlands Carillon in Arlington Ridge Park, Arlington, Virginia.
Okay.
It's dedicated to all personnel of the United States Marine Corps who have died in the defense of the United States since 1775.
Wow. That's like Lexington and Concord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It features the statues of six servicemen who raised the second U.S. flag on Mount Suribachi during the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II.
When was that?
February 23rd, 1945.
1945, towards the end of the war.
Yeah, and you can find out there all the list of names for the people that did that.
Mm-hmm.
The design of the massive sculpture was by Felix D. Weldon, was based on the iconic photograph of the raising of that flag. The second flag replaced a smaller flag.
Mm.
And the picture itself was taken by Associated Press photographer Joe Rosenthal.
Rosenthal, yep.
So that's on the left.
Mm-hmm.
On the right is a Russian statue of a man and a woman side by side, together holding a hammer and sickle over their heads.
Yeah.
Dramatic pose. Like they're charging forward over a hill.
And it's very breezy.
Yes.
Yes, her dress is billowing and as they run.
Yeah.
Or charge, yeah.
It's known as the worker and Kolkhoz woman. I cannot pronounce that very well.
All right, let me try. Okay. Cyrillic people here, I'm going to give it a shot. Raboki i Kolkhoznitsa. Kolkhoznitsa. Okay, that's my choice.
Well, Kolkhoz in Russian denotes a female collective farm worker. It is a well-known symbol of the Soviet epoch. It was made for the 1937 World's Fair in Paris by Vera Mukhina.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, everyone, for my pronunciation.
Well, I could be doing it wrong, too.
It's made of stainless steel and is an example of the socialist realistic style, as well as the Art Deco style. The woman actually is holding, or the worker actually is holding aloft the hammer,
mm-hmm.
and the Kolkhoz woman holds up a sickle. And together they actually form the hammer and sickle symbol.
Okay. So she's like chopping the, she's the farm worker. So she's using mm-hmm. the scythe and, he's the factory guy maybe with the hammer.
Yeah.
Okay.
The statue itself, was eventually moved to Moscow and resides at the Russian Exhibition Center.
Wow. So it's still there today?
Still there.
Okay.
So all the while, as these two images appear, the Russian white letters are still there, and then over them is superimposed in the red letters in the black box, Carrie Russell, as the star.
Yes, star number one. And they stay up for a while.
Yeah.
Because you get another image there, don't you?
Yeah. Again, the screen changes on the left side to an image of a woman in black and white with a red background that includes the concentric white circles. She has her hand up to the side of her mouth and her mouth open in a shouting pose. And words are coming out sort of like a megaphone shape.
Yeah.
And you know what those words are?
I do not.
It appears to be Russian.
Okay. Very good.
And on the right half of the screen, is what appears to be a passport of some sort or some sort of a official document with a picture of a young Carrie Russell. And she's got her Felicity hairstyle going on there.
Yeah, we haven't seen that wig yet, have we?
No.
Yeah.
And she's very young.
And do we think that was a wig on Felicity?
I don't think so.
Well, I remember when she cut all her hair off, that was like the biggest scandal of all time. If you were a big fan of Felicity back in the
and
day.
I've seen her interviewed recently, and she said, yeah, she got a lot of flack for that.
I'll bet.
And then the screen switches to a video of a little curly-haired girl, about 7 or so, in a blue dress, doing the hula hoop with 3 hoops at a time.
Oh, interesting. 3 hoops. U.S., Russia, and China, maybe? I don't know. It could be symbolic. Could be symbolic.
So why don't you talk about the little boy we see next?
Well, the little junior is up at the plate, and I think he's playing the baseball. Yes. He takes a swing, and they make it quite pronounced that they show the whole sequence of him taking the swing, and that has a really nice segue from All-American kid doing baseball, and it goes over to I think a female, a Kolzok worker,
mm-hmm.
a female collective farm worker, looks like, with a little boy
mm-hmm.
with a buzz cut. And it appears he has a scythe
mm-hmm.
and he is going through the same kind of, she's showing him the same kind of swinging motion that we just saw with the baseball.
Yeah.
And he's on the farm.
He's cutting down the wheat.
Yeah, yeah, he's at the harvest, so very different boyhoods for these two kids.
The contrast to me, too, was you've got the American kid in his baseball uniform, looking very healthy, and then the young Russian boy looks emaciated. He has no shirt on, and you can see his ribs. You can count them, practically. Mm-hmm. But the swings were pretty much exactly the same. And then the screen changes to a U.S. soldier with a helmet, holding up an American flag and smiling, similar to one of the guys at the top of the Iwo Jima statue. I'm not sure if it's the same one or not.
Yeah.
But he has an uncanny resemblance to Matthew Reese.
He really does.
And
it reminds me of some of the images I've seen from the French Revolution, too, with the same, the blue, white, and red.
Yeah.
Which is the tricolor from France. But this is obviously a GI here.
Yeah.
And then next to that stoic GI looking guy. Poop.
Yeah.
Matthew Reese.
It's on a passport again.
A very happy looking Matthew Reese.
Yeah. Much younger too.
Or maybe, is it Matthew Reese or is this already Philip? I wonder.
Well, in the credits, it starts out with the Russian letters in white and then switches to Matthew Reese's name.
Yes.
In red over black.
Mm-hmm.
The next is a screen of a man in a suit and an overcoat with a briefcase jumping out of the passenger side of a sedan and running down a sidewalk. That was the first time you get sort of a sense of motion and suspense.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We're starting to see something that, well, this looks like spy stuff. And so you get to see that dude and he is busting down the street.
Looking back.
Right.
Over his shoulder.
Yeah. And if you look at the car definitely, this looks
80s sedan.
Well, I'm 60s? Thinking it looks, 60s, 70s, maybe, or it could be overseas, because this does not look like an American car I recognize.
Well, and the background, the buildings in the background don't exactly look like anything I know of in the United States.
Yeah, it looks like it looks kind of like an office building, but there's a big green sward behind the guys. He's running down the street with a briefcase. And then it shifts immediately from that dude to a very scary looking. When I finally saw this, I'm like, well, this dude looks like he's just crazy.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's in jeans and a black and white workman's jacket.
Yeah.
And he's in front of a pickup truck. I guess that's what that is.
Yeah, it looks like.
He's got on a workman's jacket. It's black and red. And he is yelling.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like screaming and he's got a big gun in his hand and he's got one of those faces that just like, he looks like an enforcer type guy that's beating up a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
you can't tell the way the sequence runs, whether he's chasing after the guy in the suit.
Right.
Or what, but they're very, very different.
Yeah.
Figures.
Yeah. I don't think it's the same. It's supposed to be the same sequence. I think it's just two spy kind of incident things going on.
Yeah.
And it adds motion to, we've had a lot of static images.
Yeah.
And, you know, the clip is only like a second or 2 seconds of motion, but all of a sudden it kind of picks things up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, throughout that sequence, we have the white letters again.
Yeah.
And then superimposed is Annette Mahindru, her name, and the woman who plays Nina.
Nina. Yes. Okay. And that moves from lots of action to motion, but a very different, totally different, thing completely. Cause you're looking at, it looks like two TVs together.
Yeah.
We think they're cosmonauts. We don't think they're astronauts.
Old TVs or old, some kind of maybe computer screens.
Control
monitors,
center kind of thing, maybe. Yeah. And what's interesting I like is, you see the images. Of the two, and there's a hand that comes out to adjust, it looks like a dial on one of the two sides.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew Reese's name pops back in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or maybe that's left over. Oh, that's left over from season one.
Ah.
Yep. Never mind.
Okay.
But you see this little rocket ship outline, and it looks
like a sketch.
Yeah. It's a Soviet Salyut, I think, a spacecraft like launching.
Yeah. And you can't really tell if it's an astronaut or a cosmonaut.
Yeah.
In those two pictures.
At first, you're right. And then it shifts to one picture, one of the two screens, and I'm thinking cosmonaut.
But the reflection in the face guard looks to be a reflection of the Earth, maybe?
Yeah. So is that a face guard? It's kind of hard to tell. Or is that like looking out the port window of a spacecraft down at Earth?
I was thinking it was part of his helmet.
It looks more like a helmet, I think. Yeah. And the cool thing is that little sketch of the spacecraft just slides up in the middle of the image.
Very slowly.
So there's like a little animation going on.
And then we get a picture of a girl that looks like Paige.
Amazingly like Paige.
Standing in front of a statue of an eagle in the traditional pose to represent the United States.
Sure.
Next to her on her right is an image of an astronaut standing next to an American flag, like the American on the moon image.
Yeah,
kind of thing. And the sketch of the rocket is still in the middle of the screen, but it's starting to go.
Move on up.
Paige stays on the right. Her picture goes away and is replaced by a cartoon image of a superhero cosmonaut.
It looks like it, yeah. You see like Saturn behind him.
Yeah.
And he's got like a... He's a cosmonaut, but there's like a cape flying out behind
him. A red cape like Superman.
Yeah.
And he's holding up an object.
Yeah.
I
think
we just,
we see the bottom of, it looks like the bottom of a hexagon. So I don't know what exactly. It could be some kind of cup, maybe. I don't know. But on the hexagon looking thing is, again, the Soviet wreath with the hammer and sickle in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So you get that juxtaposition of us on the moon and the Soviet reaching for the stars or something like that.
And that sketch of the space rocket takes off up and out of the picture.
Mm-hmm. Poof. That was cool.
It was cool. So I kind of reflected on that and was thinking about, you know, is this sort of representing the space race?
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars.
Coming.
What was going on at the time?
Yeah. Yeah. And, so I think that that's a nice juxtaposition with the next image, which to me looks like an ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile.
Oh, I was thinking it was a real space rocket.
Well, it could be. I'm thinking just.
It could be what you're saying. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, I'm looking at it and it actually looks like they're test firing engines, maybe.
They've got scaffolding up around it.
Yeah. And it's laying on its side. So I'm thinking this is like a prototype that they were testing.
Okay.
It could be a manned spacecraft or it could be a missile.
Anyway, it's big and it's inside a hangar.
Yep.
And it looks like some kind of construction or something's going on. Again, you get Russian letters in the white are superimposed. And then a circle around part of there's a drawing of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
As that rocket or missile fades out, there's a black and white drawings of some sort of plans or map.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a circle around part of the drawing like a red pen appears. You don't see the pen. You don't see anybody drawing it, but the red just circles around the drawing, part of the drawing. And then a line with an arrow also in red ink.
Right.
It's a diagram with a map or a diagram of some sort that has places noted in Russian.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the white letters are superimposed then by Susan Meisner's name. Meisner?
Meisner, yeah.
Meisner.
Yeah.
And that is Sandra Beeman.
How about that? Cool.
So she's actually a regular.
Yes, yes, she went from season one.
Tutu.
Yes.
So,
actually, no, I think she was just added season two, like Annette Mendru was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if she was wasn't regular in season one.
Well, she's there now, or at least as of the last show.
Yep.
And again, the diagram has red ink, a line appear, and then the image shifts to a list of some sort. And some letters are marked out in red ink. Red ink line circles part of that list.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, so I can't read what are on any of these documents.
Yeah.
But
it
appears to be Russian.
Yep.
And next we see two hands holding what appears to be a disguised camera.
Yeah. It looks like one of those little pocket cameras that they,
you open it across. Shut.
Yeah.
And it appears to, they're taking pictures of a document.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like what happened.
Yes, I think we've seen that technology in tech of yesteryear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I like the shift next.
Oh, yeah. This is cool.
Because we go from a beloved all-American scene there with Santa and a small child.
Little boy, about 2 or 3.
Yeah. You got a little blonde-headed kid.
Smiling up at Santa.
He's happy with Santa. And then all of a sudden, boop. There's Karl Marx's picture stuck on top of Santa. And I think Marx would have made a good Santa, looking at that beard and the white hair.
I think he would have scared that little boy to death.
That's right.
But the little boy's face is still there, smiling at Karl Marx's face.
All value derives from the efforts of the proletariat.
Father.
Yeah, exactly.
Father Rusher.
Yeah, yeah. So, then, you've got a little kid. And then what do little kids like to do in the 1980s? They like to play games.
Yes.
And we see a really cool game that I spent a lot of time wasting my youth away with, which I believe it's Missile Command.
Yes.
Yeah.
An Atari game. And it was considered one of the most notable games from the golden age of video arcade games.
It was hard, too.
The players, at least for me. Six cities are being attacked by an endless hail of ballistic missiles, some of them even splitting like multiple independent. I can't say
I'm independent.
That's it. Yeah. re-entry vehicles.
MIRVs.
And in later levels, smart bombs, which can evade a less than perfectly targeted missile. As a regional commander of 3 anti-missile batteries, the player must defend 6 cities in their zone from being destroyed.
Yeah, yeah. It was something I spent a lot of time wasting. But I get pretty good at it.
And in the sequence, it looks like they're losing.
Yes.
Everything's getting blown up.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad day.
Yeah.
In the missile command. And then, we do see what happens if the missile command, if your defenses fail, because we get, several images of nuclear explosions.
Mushroom clouds.
Yep.
And they've got like a color photo, black and white photo, one in red and white.
Mm-hmm.
Then another one in color. The white letters pop up. And then we see a man's backside,
mm-hmm.
and another man comes into view, and they make a dead drop of some sort of document.
We've seen something like that before, haven't we?
Was that at the fair?
I believe it was the
when Fred
the soon to be fatal fair.
Yeah,
yeah. When Fred and the Connors were working together.
Yeah, that's right.
Before.
Fred had to
The unfortunate events later that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred did the dead drop with Philip.
Yes, he ended up having to do it with Philip because the Connors were afraid they had been spotted, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting.
Isn't it?
Okay. So Allison Wright's name pops up in the red letters and black box.
Good old Martha.
That's Martha.
That's Martha. Yes. Very cool. Yeah, and I like the guy that takes the paper.
Yeah.
He moves kind of into the screen and closer, and he's got his hand in his pocket, and you're like, is that a gun in there, or are you just glad to see me?
Well, it looks like a trench coat of sorts, and yeah, there's definitely a bulge in there.
There's something in there, yeah.
But we don't see what happens next. And
speaking of bulges, then we go to what looks, for all intents, like, and intents and purposes, like jazzercise?
Yes.
Is that what you think it was, too?
I do. That was big in the 80s.
Yes. And look at the outrageous 80s workout clothing they have on. You know, the wife beater shirts for the guy and the incredibly tight, small shorts that the guys are wearing. But I guess the lady is wearing more regular workout clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're definitely different from today.
Yes.
Jazzercise is a dance-based group fitness program. Each lasts about 60 minutes and features a fusion of jazz dance, resistance training, Pilates, yoga, kickboxing, and Latin-style movements set to popular music. The Jazzercise program was founded in 1969 by Jazzercise CEO Judy Shepherd Missett, a native of Red Oak, Iowa. But you see all the kicking that's going on in this scene.
Lots of kicking.
And next,
there's even more kicking, but it's a little lower level.
Yeah. It's the screen shifts to a group of Russian folk dancers in traditional costume. And the male lead dancer is doing the traditional Russian dance.
Mm-hmm. He's got a chorus line behind him.
The dance is the Kazakh or Cossack dance.
Cossacks.
And there's a chorus line of girls behind him and then a chorus line of boys behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's interesting. The Cossack dance is Slavic, isn't it? From like Ukraine mainly?
Chiefly, yeah.
Yeah. Fast tempo. It's got a step in which a squatting dancer kicks out each leg alternatively to the front.
Yeah.
Not quite jazzercise, but it does look pretty athletic and strenuous.
I think anybody that can do that dance is going to be well fit.
Yeah, and I think his knees are not going to
last
very long. He'd be like a catcher in the major leagues, you know, after about 10 years of that, he's going to have to pass the baton. But that was a really cool juxtaposition and a lot of energy between those two scenes.
And all motion.
Yeah, definitely. And then we need some more spy craft after that, and we get a little bit.
Yep. There are 2 men in trench coats and hats. And they grab a third guy who's in a suit and throw him into a vehicle with a red cross on the white background.
Yeah, it looks like an ambulance of some sort.
But it doesn't look like our well-known Red Cross kind of thing.
No,
it's
no.
It's very different.
And it has Cyrillic letters on it, too. And it's kind of fuzzy. You can't really make out what the letters are.
Yeah, I'm thinking not the United States.
Nah, I don't think so.
But then the screen flips to a baby in pink and gray,
mm-hmm.
a newborn looks to be.
Yeah.
And then as you look, a red hammer and sickle logo is superimposed over the baby.
A second generation illegal, perhaps?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Like Paige and Henry?
Yeah. There's a...
Or poor, unfortunate young Jared?
Well, the pink and gray, I'm thinking girl.
Probably so.
But again, you get the white letters, and then you get the, in Russian, and then you get the English letters, and it's Holly Taylor.
There you go.
That's Paige.
Yep.
Paige's, the actress's
That's
name.
That's right.
And the image shifts to the right, and another baby is shown on the left side being held up by the arms of an adult, a little bit older baby.
Yep. And Cyrillic letters are back up on the screen, and you just see a few juxtaposed over top of the image of the baby and to the right. But it's definitely red around it, so we're thinking that's probably Soviet Union.
Yeah. And then in the upper left-hand corner is a cartoonish image of the man in the moon and stars. And I'm thinking like the, sort of like the, that one of the first, movies that was made that had the
the
man in the moon.
Yeah, From Earth to the Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that what was the film that was made? Was it Hugo?
Yeah,
the Scorsese movie about the making of that movie.
Yeah. Very interesting. It looked like that image to me though. The man in the moon.
Yep.
Then the image on the right changes to an older baby's face with the hammer and sickle still superimposed.
Right.
But now with a label.
Yes. And what does it say underneath that? The baby's background is blue as well.
Yeah.
Right. And what does it say in red letters?
Little American.
Little American. Another second generation illegal, perhaps?
Perhaps.
Yeah. So again, nice juxtaposition there. And then, believe we shift to a scene that we see a lot in this program, which is Elizabeth looking out of a car. There appears to be a circle in the center of it that looks like somebody's using a telephoto lens that looks like one of the, on an old style camera. And I guess it still works on digital cameras. You get that when you rotate the lens to adjust to make sure you're getting the proper focus.
But it gives you the sense that somebody's taking a picture of her.
Somebody's watching Elizabeth,
from afar.
Yep.
So.
And when would that have been? Would that be the KGB following her in season one when they were kind of suspecting their...
Could be.
Their commitment to the cause, perhaps?
Could be,
yeah.
But then that image is followed by a picture of a woman with two children standing outside the fence in front of the White House.
Yeah, and it's like side by side. They leave Elizabeth's image there, and then you see the people right outside the White House, and that looks like...
And they're very
1960s.
American. Yeah.
Yeah, this looks like a really old picture.
And then there's a blurry image of steps with a ghostly face. As it becomes more clear, it's a black and white image of a man.
Yeah. So he's got something on his head.
Oh.
Like a woolen cap pulled down over top where he can't see.
Yeah. And again, you get the white Russian letters.
Yeah.
And that switches to a woman who is very scantily clad in a very sexy pose.
Oh, well, before that, though, they pull the hat off of the guy's head, and you see the face of this guy, and he looks like he's in pain or scared or something. Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah. And so then it goes to, which I enjoyed, certainly, the looks like an auto show, scantily clad girl.
Yeah. She's got this very sexy pose next to a car and a in a showroom.
Yeah.
And then the white letters are superimposed by the name of Kiedrich Salati.
Kiedrich.
That is the actor's name who plays Henry Jennings.
Young Henry.
Yeah.
Very good.
So then there is an image of a statue of Lenin in front of a building with a shield and structure of the hammer and sickle in gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not sure where that is, are we? Or did you, were you able to find something on that building?
I did not.
Okay. Okay. And then, you see, it looks like, it's Cyrillic again. It looks like MBI or MBL.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
red letters again.
Yeah.
And then you see, Carrie Russell's passport picture again slide into view on the right. And then Matthew Reese's slides in over hers from the right.
Mm-hmm.
And down below in the middle of the screen, it appears to be the U.S. Constitution. All you see is just we, the, like
right.
We the people.
Right.
But you can tell from the lettering, that's what it is. And then those Russian letters, Cyrillic letters, MBI, are replaced by some other ones.
Mm-hmm.
H.
Well, it looks like H lambda P O A, but.
Yeah. Don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And then Matthew Reese's photo goes away, and there's a picture of George Washington. Lenin's picture is still on the left. Washington's on the right. And behind Washington, it appears the front of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Pops into view as a backdrop.
Yep.
And then the people from the Constitution heading appears below Washington's face.
And then Washington's face kind of goes away, and then you see a hand.
Holding a lamp with a flame with a red background?
No, that's the Soviet side, I think.
Okay.
That's where the Soviet letters were.
Okay.
But beside Washington's head's there, and then all of a sudden the head goes away, and there's a hand like this.
Oh, like a salute.
Yeah, that's kind of a salute. And I can't tell if in the middle of the hand it says something because it's got the people over top of the middle of his hand. So it's unclear.
And that's more of a sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had them in a different sequence, but yeah, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then a partial image of the Constitution remains. And then on top of the Constitution it's upside down
mm-hmm.
on both sides of the screen. It's like the Constitution is being overturned. Is that sort of the suggestion there?
Maybe so. Maybe so. Though maybe the FBI or the CIA is going to extreme means to take care of things.
So we're coming.
We haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
NSA.
So.
Uh-oh.
The left side shifts to a picture of Khrushchev yelling.
Yes.
What does he yell?
I believe he's saying, "We will bury you."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great warm guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My nightmare from my youth.
Yes.
And then the right side, you get an image of John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, young President Kennedy.
Sitting at his desk.
Yeah. Looking sharp.
Then the left side changes to Yuri Andropov.
Looks like.
And
he's next to, and then you see Noah Emmerich.
Yeah.
He pops up in there.
That's Stan Beeman.
That'd be Stan.
So his credit comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the right side, JFK goes away and becomes
James Earl Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter. Yeah. Yeah. And then you go from Andropov to Brezhnev and he's actually waving. So there's motion there.
Yeah.
So that's film footage with Brezhnev.
Yeah.
And then, hey, we've seen this guy before. Mr. Carter goes away and you see President Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
But you only see half of his face.
That's true. Very interesting.
It's like he's being overshadowed by Brezhnev.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Or maybe he's just larger than life and you could only get half of his face in the frame.
Yeah.
I think that's possible. So we're kind of winding down here towards the end.
Yeah.
We see a nice shot of the U.S. Capitol building.
Well, see the dome.
Yep.
First.
You see the dome first and then it kind of backs away.
And, you see the whole building. It's very white.
Yes.
And the sky is very blue.
Yes. It's a nice, nice shot there.
And I just wanted to share that because these buildings have histories. And
they have a story.
The U.S. Capitol was begun under the Washington administration in 1793.
Mm-hmm.
It's an example of American neoclassical architecture.
Yeah. And I believe, didn't we see on 60 Minutes recently, they were talking about the renovations they're going to need to do. And they talked about the dome was finished during the Civil War or just after it.
Yeah.
It took a long time.
Yep.
Okay, then we go from there to a picture of the towers of St. Basil's Cathedral, which is also known as the Cathedral of Vasily the Blessed.
Vasily.
Could he be in relation? I don't know. Also as the Cathedral of the Intercession of the Blessed Virgin on the Moat. Nice, colorful words.
Well, and the towers, in contrast to the Capitol, mm-hmm. this is so colorful.
Yes, definitely.
This cathedral is located on Red Square.
That would be in Moscow.
It was built on the orders of Ivan the Terrible. Ooh. And was consecrated as a Russian Orthodox cathedral in 1561, but was secularized in 1929 after the Soviets took over. It's now a state historical museum.
How about that?
There are 9 domes and 2 spires.
Wow, that's
and it's
cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it looks wonderful. I'd love to see it someday.
It's very unusual. There's nothing like it, apparently, anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and then from there we see a picture of the main building of the Lomonosov Moscow State University. It's an example of the Russian-Soviet style of architecture. Tallest building in Moscow. Do you know what the motto is?
Oh, yeah. The Moscow State University is science is clear learning of truth and enlightenment of mind.
Nice. Nice.
The university was established in 1755. The main building was completed in 1953, and it is the most famous skyscraper in Russia. And is as notable to Russians as the Empire State Building is to the United States.
How about that? That's cool. Okay. And then, we are getting down, to the very end. You see a, kind of a sepia tone black and white picture of a family sitting on a porch and their
mother, father, two little children,
2 kids. And the image is kind of, digitized over their faces.
Blurred.
Yes. And then who pops into those faces?
Well, one by one. Mm-hmm. Philip, Elizabeth, Paige, and Henry.
Right.
And they're sitting, the steps they're sitting on looks to be like an old farmhouse porch.
It does.
At a farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then those slanted red stripes return.
From the beginning, and they're there again.
And the screen splits again, and on the left is the U.S. Supreme Court building and the American flag flying in front. And then the right side changes to a spire with a red star lit up against a black night sky. And I did a little checking into that, and a red star shines on the spire of the Troitskaya Tower of the Kremlin.
Okay.
And
top of the Kremlin then.
A red star is on the spire of the Spassskaya Tower, also of the Kremlin.
That would make sense. There would be the Kremlin.
And in one article I read, at least one of those red stars does shine all night long.
How about that? Cool. Even today, even though they're not communists anymore?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
It may.
Maybe so. Okay.
And then you get the photo of the Supreme Court building shifts for 2 more views.
Uh-huh.
All of them featuring American flags or a flag.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Tell us the last.
Yeah, then we've
got
to have some mayhem because this is the Americans. And you see this car, and this definitely does not look like it's in America. It looks like some sort of old Russian maybe car. It could be another European car. And it's sitting there, and it goes boom. And it goes boom pretty big. And it
big time.
Yeah, nice
parts
nice explosion.
Going every which
yeah.
way.
It goes all over the place.
Yeah.
So nice little boom. Wasn't expecting that after those first 2 images before that. And then to calm you down, you see those of us who remember when the TV shows used to stop at a certain time in the day and then the stations would go blank. They would come this test image. You know,
oh, yeah.
At the end of the broadcast day.
Yeah.
So this is to calm us older people down, I think, because the image pops up with that test pattern like the programming is going off for the day. And you'll remember they would play the Star Spangled Banner and they would have some heroic thing, you know, like the military, they'd show the Blue Angels or something. And here there's a similar sort of image. The test pattern is on and you see American flag waving. And then it pops up the Americans
Takes then, over the whole screen with the hammer and sickle in place of the sea.
It does. And then another shot of the Soviet insignia right there at the end with the wheat and the CCCP. And then it looks like, again, another shot of the American flag. And is that the Supreme Court again, you think?
Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, the credits show created by
Joe Weisberg. That's right. And that is the end of season one and season two credits. We don't know what'll happen with season three. Maybe they'll insert, maybe there'll be some new people, but it's a very interesting sequence.
Yes.
And we'll try to maybe have some of these images up where you can see what we're talking about a little bit, or you can always pull out your DVR or your DVDs and go frame by frame along with us and enjoy yourselves in the hiatus. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
Well, we have a couple of things to mention. Some,
we do
some sites or information. This was posted on February 2013 by John Forsman. There's a link for stplace.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, here's FX's The Americans opening title sequence made by Elastic TV and featuring propaganda replicas by yours truly. Because the rights to use actual World War II and Cold War era posters and images was far too expensive, FX had us design convincing replacements. The experience working on this was challenging, but ultimately very rewarding, and I'm proud of the results. Not to mention ecstatic that I get to work with people as crazy talented as the peeps at Elastic.
Okay, and so that was posted in February of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the gentleman's name is John Forsman, so please check that out. It's really cool.
So hearing that the sequence was made by Elastic TV, I went to their website, and we'll have a link there. And it says, every director brings with them a history that influences their work and defines the type of director they are. For our directors, their years of experience in editorial, visual effects, and animation have culminated in the creation of Elastic. With the support of sister companies, Rock, Paper, Scissors, and A52VFX, the directors at Elastic are able to tap into the talents and unique resources that have made each company excel.
Very good. I think you had another interesting article we'll put a link to in the show notes as well. Another look at the Americans' brilliant opening credits.
Yeah.
So we can follow that along. It had some asides.
Yeah, it was goldenageoftelevision.wordpress.com.
Okay. And that was from last summer, I think.
And very interesting article. Really highly recommend it.
Okay. Very good. Well, you know, we actually have a little feedback. I think we can wrap it up with feedback today. You want to do that?
We're sorry. Yeah.
All right. Starting off, we heard from at DD Henry Lee, and he says, hey, are Pastor Tim and Bus Girl Paige's training team? Very interesting. You were questioning whether Pastor Tim might have some links to some of the...
Well, and when we saw the bus girl, the girl on the bus that Paige met when she was going to see, who was it, Aunt Helen?
Yes.
You know, I wondered if she was following her.
Yeah.
And then that kind of took the
diverted
the story to a different arc. And then what I was thinking.
Yeah, they kind of just dropped her, although she was part of the religious group at the church
her.
A few times.
So I think that Pastor Tim may really be somebody to watch out for.
I think so. And I think Bus Girl will be back.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. Okay. We've got two from Agent X. You want to take this?
Yeah. If you remember last podcast, we were talking about Philip being in the trunk of the car, and I thought he was handcuffed with his hands in back. Chip said no, they were in front. But Agent X of what, Director S?
Yes.
She texted us and said, Chip, take a second look at Philip handcuffed in the trunk of the car. His hands are behind him. He's just Superman. That's all. And so thank you, Agent X. You proved me right. We did take a look. And
that is indeed what happened. Indeed and what happened. He must indeed be Superman.
This person also said there is also a 4-minute video on FX website titled Secrets, which has some behind the scenes shots of the episode, including Philip in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to put that link there because I did look that up. It was very interesting.
Yep. We'll get that in for you guys.
Okay. At J Gecko,
mm-hmm.
Quantum Reality from our com did a little frame by frame analysis of them once.
The opening credits. Yes. That's, again, from the Dreamwidth, Americans community.
Yep.
So we'll have a link there as well. You can check that out.
Okay.
And we just heard, very recently from, at also Artemis, and she lets us know, I think Stan changed his mind when he was told not to say I love you so much. It told him Nina was talking about him.
And that
interesting
is,
theory.
That is really, really a good idea.
Yeah.
I think you had it. I think you got it there.
I don't know. I think that could have contributed to his decision, but I think he'd already made up his mind he wasn't going to do it.
Well, when the guy said something about the,
Russian women won't respect you or whatever.
No, I'm thinking about when he was looking at the, Echo.
Yes.
And the guy said something about, isn't this something the future of the free world rests on this numbers and images.
And symbols, yeah.
So I think that shook him.
Artemis, you could be right. That could have been like what pushed him over the edge I just can't do this. So good theory. I like it. Okay.
Well, folks.
I think that's it for us. The Americans finished last week and we're finishing this week. We may have one or two things that we will do sometime in the summer or fall, for the hiatus. But we will definitely be back and probably, a week or two before the show returns with our recap of season 2. Don't want to miss that. We'll get everybody back in the mode and remember what's going on. We do want to let you know we are going to be at Comic-Con this year in San Diego, and that is July 23rd through the 27th. We would love to meet up with anybody who's either A, going to Comic-Con, or B, somewhere in Southern California. If you want to get together, grab a beer.
Go to dinner.
Yeah, grab dinner one night. As you know, I do sell beer, and we actually podcast about beer. It's called Tales from the Cask. I do that in my other life as a beer guy. So check that out if you want. But we would love to see people when we're in Southern California. And we may be at Dragon Con as well in the Atlanta area towards the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
But you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and let us know, either that or give us a signal. We'll give you the contact info in a second. So we would love to see some folks. If you want to get together, we'd love to say hey.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for enjoying the season with us. We've had a great time doing this, and we are really looking forward to cranking it back up next year in 2015 for season 3 of The Americans. And don't forget, follow us on Twitter. We are at Watch Americans. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/watchingtheamericans.
And email us at watchingtheamericans@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
And we'd love to hear from you audibly.
Yes, your voice. We would love to hear your voice. You can either attach an audio file to an email, which is great.
Or just call and leave us a message.
You can call and signal us.
At 919-907-OKGB or 919-907-0542.
That's right. And once again, thank you so much. We've had a ball, and you will be hearing from us sometime down the line. Have a great summer, everybody. And I will say spasiba, and till next time.
And I will say, who is watching the Americans? And the Americans are watching whom?
Bye, y'all.